Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown, coming at you a little afternoon on Monday afternoon. I am very pleased to be joined by two gentlemen who I think had a pretty good weekend, or at least a pretty good weekend, because Friday, Sunday, all good stuff. Jeff Johnson, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. Good weekend. Good start to the week. The sun had its you must have forgot week after the snow dropped on us and melted the snow away. So I'm hyped. Boy, I thought we were going to be Alaska for the last month before spring. And to see the snow gone as if nothing happened is beautiful.
I mean, this morning was no picnic. It was, I think my phone said it was 23 degrees and felt like 14 when I walked my kid to the bus this morning. I went for a run in shorts last week, which is like, I didn't think it was going to be possible ever again, but it happened and I enjoyed it. Speaking of physical fitness, Sean Arney. Hi, Sean.
Hello. We always talk about Tale of Two Americas. We have to have a Tale of Two New York metropolitan areas because there's still hella snow in my backyard and front yard. It was 17 degrees this morning in Westchester when my son got on the bus. In fact, I'm trying to build a snowman this evening with Zach with an H when he gets home from school because, to Jeff's point, by Wednesday, Thursday, this snow might be gone. And by next Monday, it's going to be 70. It's crazy. It's almost like the climate's changing.
It is almost like that. Well, we have a lot to get to today because we have to group 30 teams into tiers, as we do at the beginning of every month. But first, we have to get some takes off.
2-1-0, ignition, liftoff.
So I don't have a take today. I just have something that I'm going to put on the screen here. And I would like Sean specifically, Jeff, you could react too, but I would like Sean's reaction most notably. I'm not sure if you saw this. Our aggregator friends over at Legion Hoops put this up earlier today. This is from the blog of Luke Cornett. He has a blog on Medium, which I am looking at right now.
I heard,
and he writes a impassioned, not too long. It's a couple hundred words, 2-minute read. Plea for the Atlanta Hawks to cancel Magic City Monday because, in short, he feels that celebrating a strip club is disrespectful on several fronts. And I have his blog up here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he essentially says we should promote an atmosphere that is protective and respectful of the daughters, wives, sisters, mothers, and partners that we know and love, as opposed to something that is celebratory of the objectification and mistreatment of women in our society. All of this is something I know I don't have to ask either of you if you are for and believe in, because that's a silly question, because we are all for the things that Luke Cornett is purporting to stand for. I'm just wondering if if this really has legs to stand on. And I think you know where I'm going with that one, Sean, which is why I want to ask you, because you've talked openly in the past about your fondness for the wings of Magic City. And I just want to know what you think.
Oh boy. I see that Two Americas shit came back to it came right back around to
it
me.
It did come, it does come back around on you.
Honestly, there's so many directions I can go in, and we do not have time to go at all of them. And everything is political now, no matter what. So I'm gonna tread very lightly, but at the same time, I'm gonna stand on business when I say this. We should not look down. I'll just say, listen.
No, if you want
to
say,
if you want to say that women who work at strip clubs are sex workers, guess what? I don't think we should look down on sex workers. I'll leave that there. I think there is like there is a stigma that you can attach to it, generally speaking, but we know what you're doing. Number one. Number two, I don't think I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna go out on a limb and assume that Luke Kornet, let's see now. According to Wikipedia, so you know it's true, Luke Kornet is from Lexington, Kentucky, which is actually interesting, but it plays into. The strip club, particularly in the South, holds a, and anyone who's listening to this, feel free to correct me because obviously I'm a Northerner, but this is what I've learned over the years. The strip club, particularly in the South, holds a special meaning within the Black community because for many communities, for many cities in the South, that was the only place you were going to hear certain music. That was the only place that was open. That was the only place if I wanted to hear, oh, I don't know, hip hop that would let me in. Like, there's only sometimes, there's a lot of places that was the only place you can get food late at night. Like, the Gentlemen's Club holds a place within the culture of Black America, especially in the South. Because it gave opportunities, like people break records in the people will break records in the strip club because you know why? The regular club wasn't playing your records and the record was playing your record. So, and Atlanta has embraced this better than any city in America. I think they've done a good job of maintaining the balance between the two. So for him to just look at it, basically it's like, I feel as if Luke Kornet was just saying, like, oh, they are collaborating with a place that has naked women on stage. This is awful and horrible and objectification. And it's a little bit more, it's more nuanced than that.
I just want to read, this is the paragraph I was searching for before, and this is the one that struck me. Regardless of, this on Kornet's blog, regardless of how a woman finds her way into the adult entertainment industry, many in this space experience abuse, harassment, and violence to which they should never be subjected. Two things. Number one, there's not a person around alive that would disagree with the fact that there are people in that space that experience abuse, harassment, and violence to which they should never be subjected, and that the proportion of people who experience those things in that space is unquestionably larger than in most other industries. I could say the same thing about severe injuries in the NFL, and I don't think anybody is trumpeting around saying we should disband the National Football League because there's a disproportionate amount of injuries. The part that I really want to focus on, and your take, Jeff, is the thing that's doing a lot of heavy lifting here, which is the regardless of how a woman finds herself into the adult entertainment industry, there are a lot of women that this is how they pay their bills, support their families, feed their children. And I think that the Atlanta Hawks, I mean, we have all had a little bit of fun, or at least me and you, Sean, have had fun on text about like that they're doing this night. The fact that the Hawks are choosing to celebrate one of the more, and I say this not facetiously at all, one of the more upstanding establishments in this field, in a place in like Atlanta that you've talked about, Sean, as being on the forefront, on a city on the come up, all these sorts of things. I think it's cool. And I think it's worth like celebrating. So that's my take. Jeff, what are your thoughts on this?
I think that the Atlanta Hawks have a close tie with the culture of the city of Atlanta. Yes. All of those teams in Atlanta, maybe not the Atlanta United, they're probably still, actually I'll include them, the MLS team. I'll include them too. Hawks, Falcons, Braves. Atlanta United. I mean, you all.
The Cobb County Braves.
Cobb County Braves, right? But I'm just saying, I'll stick to basketball and football, which are predominantly Black athlete-dominated sports. And Atlanta has the unique cultural connection to those teams, unlike any other city, where the city embraces its culture and the teams embrace that as well. I listen to what Luke Kornet says, and it's one of those things where I would say, I hear you. I understand what you're saying, and I commend you for it. But multiple things can be true.
Yes.
Multiple things can be true. When people take this moral stance, to me, it feels as if we transported you. You are an anachronism of the early 1900s, where you believe this is red light district Times Square in the 1940s, where the women are walking in with bullet holes and cigarette burns, and there's insidious things going on in the bowels of this seedy establishment. It's not, I'm not saying that those places don't exist.
No one is.
What I'm saying is Magic City's not one of them.
Bingo.
There you go.
So it does matter where you attach it, because I can also go on the slippery slope. Let's just roll right down the hill and go on the, down the slippery slope. You know what's disproportionately affecting people? Gambling. You know what else is disproportionately affecting people? Alcohol.
Yeah.
If we want to go full sobriety, right to censor, cut everything that has some type of vice attached to it, when is the crusade going to go against predictive markets and sports books and access to young men and women who may not have the disposable income? I mean, the same excuses that people will throw at me and qualifications, we could put here. The only difference is things like gambling don't really have a cultural tie to cities, unless you're talking about Vegas and Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't have a cultural tie to a group of people that's like long embedded in their culture. So I understand where he's getting at, but I do think the establishment itself matters. The context itself does matter. And it's just hilarious when we can have these jokes and these conversations and talking about the culture. But when a team actually decides to represent the culture and tie in with it to show some love, that's where it stops.
I just want to know what would happen to economies of various cities around the country if like such establishment was shut down. I can't imagine it would be good. And then the last thing I'll say, because both of you guys brought it up, and is it just like, I know when I watch Hawks games, I look around the arena, there are a lot of dark-skinned folks watch in that arena. It is a black community. It is a very, very black community in terms of who shows up to Hawks games, or at least that's my perception watching. Am I off base there?
Not at all. Listen, I be in Madison Square Garden. New York City has a lot of black people, has a lot of non-white people in it.
There are.
Madison Square Garden, sometimes it looks like we're in Brown versus Board of Education. You look at the lower bowl, it's separate but equal. It could get separate but equal. Boston Garden.
Oh, Boston, that's it.
Boston Garden might be Jim Crow compared to some other all right, I'm joking, but the fact of the matter is, when you look out at the crowd, like for example, Madison Square Garden, all jokes aside, you look at the crowd, it's New York.
Yes.
But then I think to myself, damn, like man. I'm like when you do a peer, like you just peer through the crowd, especially like in the 100s, right? You look at the 100 section, and it looks homogenous, right? Like it looks like it'll be a lot of white people down there. There's a mix. It's not like there's none. But you can just clearly, like if you just eyeball it, you look at the 200s, 300s, 400s, and yeah, you might see some more color. Atlanta's the one city. Yep. I'll also say DC, right? DC mm-hmm. and Atlanta are the two cities where you pan to the crowd and it's noticeable the yeah. amount of non-white folks in there, predominantly black people that reflect the players, the majority of the players that are on the court, right? Like it's just... That's the one place where it's conspicuous. Other places, it's like, oh, wow. And it's funny because when you're in person as opposed to being on TV, it could look totally different. And that's because the producers and everybody are focusing on everybody in the crowd. But when you get there, it's like, oh, it's not until the let out where I'll be like, oh, wow. Okay. It's way more diverse in here than I thought. But when you're just peering out into the crowd, I'm like, whoa, it's striking. And it's equally striking when you look at an Atlanta crowd and you see it.
Just the notion that like the Hawks just thought of this like offhandedly and threw it out there. I'm sure they had a lot of discussions. You know, Sean, what I'm trying to get at here?
Yeah. And again, it's the venue that they chose. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Magic City is arguably, I don't even think it's arguable, the most famous strip club in America. Like, right. Like
it's Walmart of strip
yeah,
clubs.
Yeah, it was like there was
Pepsi,
like,
it's Coke.
Yeah. Yeah, it was between them and King of Diamonds in Miami. King of Diamonds closed, and now it's Magic City. First of all, as a card carrying member of the I Am Black and I Have a Season Ticket in the 100 Section Madison Square Garden Club, I would just like to say that Jeff is, for the most part, right. Like, there are brown people in the 100s, but, you know, there's not as much as Atlanta. Not even close. I know too many people who live in Atlanta that have, like, season tickets that are like, oh, everyone has season tickets. I just think, again, if there's, like, to your point, John, there's no way they didn't think this through.
Yeah,
but this is for Atlanta.
It's for the community.
Yeah, like if New York did Tim's Night, and someone was like, "Well, Tim's costs $210, and they're made in X amount of," and you'd be right.
Yeah.
But however, this is a New York thing. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I wonder how he feels about. I wonder if he gives Miles Bridges dap after every game.
Luke Cornett?
Yeah.
Since we're
talking. And listen, I don't want to do whataboutism. You know, I don't want to go down that road. But to each their own. For certain people, certain issues matter more than others to certain people. And to Jeff's point, he's not wrong. Like, what he's saying is, like, what happens in the adult entertainment industry isn't wrong. But I just think there's a disconnect between the history of the strip club in specifically in the Deep South and what it represents to the community.
And you know what? On another note, if the Liberty was doing this or what the Dream, if the Dream was doing this, then I feel like, listen, this is when it gets we're right. Yo, at the line
when the Dream's doing,
we're
I'm
right
like,
at the
I'm,
line because we're I'm, talking about empowerment versus context versus culture, and I am not versed enough to go, because I feel like it's a bottle cap mine over here, it's a pulse grenade over here, it's a nuke over here, and I'm just trying to keep all my body parts right. But I'm just saying like, it's, you can have the right message without the right context. Like, in general, if I say smoking is bad, yes.
Great.
But if I smoke a cigar after a celebration, I don't think that I'm degrading my body or doing something like that. Like, it's in moderation, right? Like, it's in moderation, but there's a proper context. Like, yo, I smoke a cigar... I smoke a cigar when my kid was born. I smoke a cigar when I got a promotion, right? It's like, okay, I can understand why you do it, but I still feel like this. And I think there's room for all of that. The problem is when you take a moral stand like this, especially publicly, then people are going to be checking for every single time to see if that you maintain that energy throughout. And like Sean, I don't get into the what, I don't like the what about ism stuff, because then we just, you battle to a stalemate. You're going to battle to a stalemate. We're complex creatures. We're humans. Our existence is hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole existence is hypocritical. There's going to be times where you pick and choose where you want to apply your moral standards. But I believe, like, if you have the proper context, then it is what it is. But I'm not going to kill Luke Cornett for that. Like, I get where he's coming from, but I think if he had more context, maybe he still feels the same. Maybe he feels a little different.
I'll be curious if this gets any traction. My guess is that because of what you just said about grenades and such, Jeff, people are not going to touch this one and they are going to let it be. But
it's content, bro.
Someone's going to tell me, somebody can be like, shut your ass up.
You know what? If the Spurs were playing them that night,
yeah.
Oh, that would have been that. You would have had to talk about it.
But who are they playing that night?
Orlando.
They play Orlando.
Imagine, like, it's.
That's like, why
they. That's the other thing, too. It's like Magic versus Magic City.
Yeah.
I mean, yo, whoever came up with that cooked. Like, if they don't get a bonus this year, they need to leave and go to another organization.
Do you have any? I mean, nothing. Do you have any idea how much those jackets are going to sell in the secondary? Or,
It's like the hoodie's like 120 or something like
that. Yeah. Listen, if it didn't have a Hawks logo on the sleeve, I would have bought one.
I would have bought one already. And I've never even been to the club. It's a cool thing.
I would have bought one.
Anyway, I'm glad we had the discussion. I that's exactly what I wanted to do. Like, we have a lot of fun on the show, but occasionally I think we have room for actual real talk.
Listen, that hoodie can go like that hoodie could be the Charlotte Hornets apparel from the 90s of this current era. Like, where everybody was wearing Hornets gear because it was the best. Yes. It was the best looking starter jacket and hat that starter ever made.
Yeah.
Of any team. It's like, yo, and the Hornets were so innocuous as a team where, I'll wear Hornets gear. I don't care. I don't. Well, my team don't got no beef with them. We're not rivals. You know what I'm saying? It's the Hornets. Mm-hmm. They're cool. Are cool. I'll wear it.
We haven't had something like that in a while.
A long time.
The Vice uniforms for the Heat were like, divisive. I like them. Oh, you didn't rock with them, Jeff?
No, I love them.
Oh, you love them? Okay.
But it's the Heat.
It's the Heat, exactly. Like, the Hornets, like you said, the Hornets were innocuous.
I keep it real. I said, yeah, if I was somebody who just liked wearing, like I was the rappers who would wear everybody's jersey no matter their affiliation, I'm copping. I'm getting the D-Wade Vice jersey. That's what you got to have. Yeah. Like, you got to have that. But I'm not wearing Heat gear.
No, you couldn't over my dead body. Okay, let's power rank the NBA. I'm going a little bit of a different direction for today. Here is our task. You ready for this?
Sir.
We are going four different groups, all right? Four and only four, unless I've miscounted. It might be five. No, I think it's four. All right. Group one, you stink. I don't know. I didn't come up with a creative name.
I love it.
I didn't come up with a creative name, but that's group one. Group one, you stink. Group two can make the playoffs. Notice I did not say play in. I said can make the playoffs. Which means of the eight playoff teams in each conference. Group three can make the conference finals, and then group four can win it all. Because I think if you can make the finals, there is a chance that you could win the whole thing. So that's why there's the line of demarcation between can make the conference finals and can win it all. We're going to start at the bottom. And I'm just going to name the 10. Let's start by naming them. We don't have to talk extensively. It's late enough in the year. It's fucking March. We don't have to talk extensively about any of these teams unless you really want to. Of the 10 teams that are currently, actually, of the nine teams, I'm going to leave one team out. Out of the following nine teams, do we need to have any conversations about the Kings, the Jazz, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Pacers, the Nets, the Wizards, or womp womp, the Bulls? Remember the first week of the season or the first 2 weeks of the season?
Josh Giddey, all-star conversation.
Oh, I was like, he might be all NBA this year the way he's going.
Man, that was the beauty of the first five games.
Yeah. Oh, well. Do we need to have any more conversations about any of those nine teams?
I'm good.
Sean is making gesticulations. No. Okay. Do we need to have a conversation about this? Jeff, this is going to be the only opportunity to pull out the accent. So speak now or forever, hold your peace.
I knew this was the 10th team. I knew this was the 10th team, by the way.
I had a feeling also.
Do we need to have a conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks? Jeff, I'm going to ask you.
I don't understand why we are in this position. We are only two games back of the final playoff spot. I will be back. You know, my calf is feeling better. You know, I went to Elimination Chamber. I see WWE. Like my guy, Randy Orton. I am a viper. I will strike at any moment. Okay? We all strike with the play-in. Don't count us out yet.
I love the optimism from Giannis there. That's really good.
Yeah, I mean, they're two games out. And
three.
Honestly,
three.
Three games out.
Oh shoot.
Yeah.
Why did that nine look? Maybe I need some rest. No, because you know there are two games in the loss column, but I understand now why due to the math or whatnot. All right, that's fine. Listen, them Atlanta Hawks are free falling,
but they don't have their pick, which is what I don't want to say it's confusing. Oh, who, because the they're Hawks? Not good. The Hawks. They don't own their pick. They're sending their pick to San Antonio, regardless of where they finish.
It might not matter. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's funny, they were free falling. So this is why we have to do this exercise. Do you know the Atlanta Hawks have won not one, not two, not three? They've won four games in a row. Now those four wins have come over the. Are you guys sitting down for this one? The Nets, the Wizards, and then.
All right, man.
The Blazers.
Come on. They're the hottest team in the league, right? Hold on. They're the hottest team in the league because
The longest winning streak in the NBA right now
is
the Hawks and the Hornets.
It's the Hawks and the Hornets. It's the hottest team in the league.
All right, you know what? I
You're welcome, Atlanta and Charlotte. You're welcome.
I'm sorry. I wasn't familiar with your game.
Okay, how about this? Let's go inverse order. Can we add the Hawks to the group of the other nine teams?
No.
So you're going to make the argument that the Hawks could win a playoff series? Or no, sorry, make the playoffs.
Can they make the playoffs?
Yes. They can make the playoffs.
But
Can they? Yes. Will they is a different question. No, but can they?
Hold on. Do we forget the assignment? We're creating content here. Are you going to sit here and make the argument, Sean, that the Hawks are going to make the playoffs, which means at this rate, they would have to win not one, but two play-in games?
I was going to say this is the Hawks we're talking about here who have done this on multiple occasions. But the engine for that is no longer is now in Washington instead of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So can they, but yes, can they beat, okay, they're nine.
They would have
can
to beat the Charlotte Hornets and one beat, of Orlando and Miami.
Yeah.
Charlotte has the best net rating in the league over the last, whatever it is, month and a half or something.
So I don't think the Hornets are staying at 10.
Yeah, they're not.
So they might avoid the Hornets.
They can make the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
I say playoffs, no, Jeff. Can. You're the tiebreaker.
You know, can they make the playoffs for real?
Of course they can.
Hold on.
They can't beat Orlando.
Are you asking their capability or my thought or like my personal opinion? Are you asking
your
capability?
Opinion. I want your opinion.
Okay. Because I was going to say they are capable. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. But they can.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's it. Because if Sean is going like whether or not they can, I could see some. Who knows what Orlando Magic team is showing up?
Well, that's we're gonna have the Orlando discussion in a second. The last time, actually, no, the Hawks they did the Sixers in Philly not too long ago. All right, you want to say yes? So we'll put them in the next tier. That's fine.
Yes, put them in the next tier.
Okay.
We're not talking about title contenders here. They can go on you can play for the right to become fodder, Pistons fodder in round one.
Yeah. I say them. If we're putting Atlanta in there, then I got to put Milwaukee in there.
If you're saying Atlanta can make the playoffs, I'm saying the Bucks can make
I'm putting, that was where I was going. Like, I definitely agree. Think they can.
All right. I agree. So now we've moved up to the next tier. Well, actually, hold on. Do we need to have a conversation about any of the current play-in teams in the West? So Denny Avdia is hurt. We went through a few times this season the on-off numbers, specifically the on-off numbers on offense with Denny Avdia, where when he would sit, the Blazers would have like a offensive rating straight out of 2003. They are kind of falling somewhat precipitously in the standings. They're in the 10th position now. I don't think the Blazers can make the playoffs. I'm going to just say that.
They have less of a chance than Atlanta does. I'll say that. But
yeah, especially if Denny's not going to play or if he's hobbled in any way, they're pretty much cooked.
But then again,
I don't
they're
think they stink, though. Do they
but
stink?
Then again, their likely first playing game opponent will be a team who also has a player that you don't talk about not playing. An injury issue. So, like,
well, it's funny. I don't even know which one you're referring to. You're referring to Southern California, or you're referring to the Northern California team?
Southern California.
Okay.
So, I mean, they have a fight. They have a fighter's chance because, you know, I don't believe in any of these. Like, first of all, Team 7 through 10, congratulations. You can hang a banner. You're in the play-in. So there's that. But listen, if Portland gets the Clippers and, you know, Kawhi's, oh, my arm, and then he's out, and then, you know, and then you play, and then you know how I feel about the Warriors of Golden State, who I have bet a not too sizable amount, but sizable amount of money that they will not make the playoffs. But I will include them because they could, as it stands now, they win one game. They beat Phoenix and they're in. So I'm not going to say they can't. I just think they won't.
I'm not taking folks behind the scenes on our.
Take them behind the scenes.
No.
We're creating content, a wise man once said.
You are.
An asshole? Yes, I am. I know what you want to say. It's all right.
You're talking shit left and right about your wagers that you have placed on the Warriors to not make the playoffs. Yes. So I'm like, I want to place a side bet on this. I'll like a drink or something. An expensive drink, but a drink.
Oh, you should have said that. You didn't say anything about a drink. You said money. Oh. And I was like, are you giving me odds? And you said no. And I was like,
because you're talking shit like it's predestined that the Warriors are going to make the playoffs. You're so convinced. So, I'm like, they have Steph Curry and Draymond Green and like other guys that are good when they're in their proper roles.
You're right. And we've never seen the Golden State Warriors or Steph Curry and Draymond Green lose two games in a play-in round and not make the playoffs. That's never happened. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, look, I have 2021 on the phone. Same thing happened. It's like, we've literally seen this before. And that team was better than this. They're like, oh, yeah, Guy Santos. Woo-hoo. Congratulations on your extension, by the way. Big up to you. Part of the reason I'm making the bet is the value. So when they were – so basically, for those out there.
Yeah.
In November, they were plus 500 to make the playoffs. And I said, okay, Jimmy Butler's old. Steph Curry's old. Gets injured a lot. Draymond Green, hello, whatever. This Kuminga situation is like, this team could easily, I didn't think they're going to finish 11, but I can see this team losing the play, not making the playoffs. And then Jimmy Butler tore this ACL, and here we are. And also, and maybe this is a bit of recency bias, but I was watching that Warriors-Lakers game on Saturday night, and good Lord, like, you can't make the Lakers look that good. Like you cannot.
We're going to get to the Lakers shortly.
So I'm not going to make a bet with someone who was like, oh, I believe in this, so I should make less money. But if you want to bet a beverage, let's bet a beverage.
The beverage has been bet. Okay. Let's handle this group before we get to the teams that are in the top six. Do any of the Hawks, Bucks, Blazers, Clippers, Warriors, Suns, Hornets, Heat, or Sean's Orlando Magic, do any of those teams?
continue.
should be the new theme song of the pod. Do any of those teams have an argument for being a team that could make the conference finals? Sean just is he's not even answering the question. That's always a great. That's always a sign of a good question when the person laughs at the asking of the question.
Come
Jeff
on,
is
B.
Jeff is pondering.
No, he's not.
I'm not. I said, come on. Come on. You know what? If Dylan Brooks didn't break his hand.
Man, please.
I'm just saying. Maybe I'm gassed off of Colin Gillespie. And
you might be gassed.
I might be gassed.
They wouldn't be
I'm
the
just
team.
Saying. They're going to be an annoying team, and sometimes annoying teams can brute force their way through a playoff. Phoenix Suns, out of all of them teams, I'd even have a 60-second conversation about the Fighting Clippers from formerly of San Diego and currently of Inglewood, right? I'd have a conversation because you're telling me it's a lot of what ifs, right? Assume Kawhi is going to be there for the entire playoff run. Assume Darius Garland's toes work.
That he has all of them and that they work.
No, he definitely has all of them, but his big toes is killing him right now, right? Assume his toes work. Assume Kawhi is going to be there for the whole time. The fact that they lost Zubac. Damn.
You know why? You know why the Clippers are at least why I think they're worth the 60-second conversation that you're suggesting they should have? Because if you look right now, the Houston Rockets are third. We're going to get to Rockets shortly. They are third in the West. What did you call Ime Udoka, Sean?
Tom Thibodeau with a 10-gallon hat.
I love Tom Thibodeau, but that's still
10-gallon hat, Tibbs. I just imagine Tibbs wearing a 10-gallon hat.
He'd look good. He'd look good. He'd be among the top coaches I'd like to see wearing it.
Y'all don't have to shoot well to play well.
Yeah,
who's the number one coach you would want to see wearing a 10-gallon hat? Oh, I got the answer.
Mike Woodson.
Oh, Woody would look great in a 10-gallon hat. That's a good one.
Joe Mazzulla, just because he would look absolutely.
Joe
Mazzulla is the right answer.
That's the right answer.
Although, who's the Hawks coach? Quinn Snyder with the glasses.
Yeah.
He looked like he could be an Unforgiven with that with a 10-gallon hat on. Like you could cast him in a remake. Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, no, all of these coaches I'm thinking of would look funny in this hat. Okay, so the Rockets, I think there's reason to be skeptical that if a team can get past their defense, and I don't know that their defense is quite all it's cracked up to be. We know the Rockets have problems in crunch time. We know they have problems scoring. Steven Adams done for the year. He's a big part of their team. So if but again, that now you're already fast forwarding to a round two matchup. You got to get past like the Spurs, for instance, if the Clippers, yeah. Spurs are young though.
So if the Clippers were finished and looks like they're going to likely finish eighth, if they finish eighth, they're not beating Oklahoma City.
No, but if they finish eighth, they could play their way up to seventh.
And potentially face
the Spurs in round one.
Right now they're ninth, so they have to fit. They're 2.5 games out of eighth.
Hey, they can make that up.
I didn't say they couldn't.
Yeah,
I'm just saying as of now, it looks more likely they'll finish. They have a better chance of finishing eighth than seventh. But if they finish seventh, if they get to eight and they beat Phoenix and they're seventh and they get San Antonio, and to Jeff's point, there's a lot of ifs, buts, and maybes, but. That I would entertain that because Pete Kawhi is still a top five player in this league. And if they were to beat San Antonio, then they'd get the winner of Houston, Minnesota. And come on, I mean, well, actually, Ant would send him to hell, Houston, no. Yeah.
A real team is beating the Clippers. Like, I think we can, like a real contender. Let's just say that.
Yes.
How old is Brook Lopez right now, starting center for the Los Angeles Clippers?
Oh, he was drafted 37.
Sean has it. 37, wow. And he turns 38 in a month from today.
He's the 09 draft or 2010 draft. He's one of those two.
He was the 2008.
2008. Draft. Jeez.
He was drafted by a team that was located in New Jersey.
Yes.
At the time they drafted him.
No, I remember watching that draft in my living room and was dumbfounded that Brook Lopez fell to the Nets at, I think they took him 11.
10.
I was 10. I was dumbfounded at the time. And I was living in Harlem at the time. So I was like, I thought it was like 9 or 10, but we had just moved in there. Yeah. Yeah, man. Shout out to him.
Shout out to him. I'm not sure that bodes well for their for their chances of making it to the conference finals. Second most points in his draft class behind only Russell Westbrook. So, yeah, shout out to Brook Lopez. Very nice career. Okay. We're not going to have a Hornets discussion. If you want a Hornets discussion, go listen to Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe. They had a long one. last thing, and then we're going to move on to the actual playoff teams. Do you really, Hornets, all kidding aside, assuming they could beat anyone in the play-in and assuming there is at least a slim possibility that they can make up two games on either the Heat or the Magic, both of whom were two games ahead of them in the playoffs or play-in standings. Yes or no, Hornets can win, get into the playoffs and win two playoff rounds. Sean?
No.
Jeff?
Not one.
Depending on backwards. Who they face. Not two, not one.
Not two, not one. I will say that they're going to give somebody hell.
Yeah.
They're going to give them hell. I just don't know if they're ready for that.
And I hope that team they give hells in is located in the state of Michigan. Because yeah, that will be six games of just like that. That will be the game where Adam Silver has to stand at center court before the game and goes, I want a nice clean fight. Keep up, protect yourself at all times.
They are going to have to exhume the corpse of David Stern just for that first round series so he can type up a strongly worded memo to both locker rooms.
Sure. He's going to be like the soccer refs. He's going to call Cade and LaMelo over. Like, you're going to call him over, and all you're just going to see is the hand motions like, you, no more. Okay? Now go.
All right.
I love that. It's just like they just get he calls the ball. Soccer refs just call players over to scold them like parents. Like they're saying like eloquent words, but all you see is just the hand motions, just pointed at one, pointed at the other. You two kids, stop effing fighting, or we're stopping this match. All right, now go. And they dismiss them.
All right, we gotta get moving. Clippers in this group, or do we think the Clippers can make the conference finals?
They're in this group.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're gonna go team by team here in order of in order of record. The Philadelphia 76ers. Can the Philadelphia 76ers make the conference finals?
Hell no.
Healthy Joel.
Are we doing this again? We're doing this again. If there's one team that I don't want to hear about if they're healthy anymore, it's the Philadelphia 76ers because they're never healthy.
Maybe whatever Paul George was taking is going to make him better for April.
Sure.
Hopefully for them. But yeah, I saw what the Celtics did to them, and I'm not trying to be prisoner of the moment, but I don't know that you can rely on check engine light Embiid in these playoffs. I don't know. You do know. Yeah,
I know.
But I'm just saying, I don't think. Let me not say I don't know. I don't think you can rely on that and to have that as your ace in the hole. Because I'll say that straight up. Y'all can call me a homo or whatever. If the standings stay the way they are, the answer to this is no.
You know me. I'm not your opponent, Macri.
Take John out of it. I'm talking to Sean.
You both said
the standings stay the way they are. The answer is an emphatic no.
No, I think the Knicks would beat them. But first of all, I don't know that the standings going to stay the way they are because maybe Philly moves up, maybe the Knicks move up. Like there's all kind of things that can happen.
Ooh, you know what? They have an outside shoot.
Is there a world where they can make the
no?
This is the question. Who in the top four do you think they can beat in the first round? Because I don't think that top four is really going to move, right?
I think.
But who do you think in that top four they can legitimately beat?
I think they can give Boston a run.
Ben Kim Gurry makes a great point. They couldn't make the conference finals when they were fully healthy. I'm supposed to believe they could do it now.
Maxie's better and they have Edgecombe. Sean had enough.
Sean had it with us. I think in an anything can happen playoffs, them two are scary enough. Maxie and Edgecombe. What I'm saying, what I believe though is they can't do it alone. And it's nuts that I'm saying Embiid. They need Embiid. They need Paul George. But I don't know.
You're the tiebreaker, Jeff. I want to put him in the next tier. You're the tiebreaker.
You want to put him in the conference finals tier?
As can make the conference finals. Be quiet, Sean. You're the tiebreaker, Jeff.
All right, I'm looking at the standings right now. So that means they would have to, they would have, if they won.
There's a lot of shit that could happen. They could fall to seventh. They could move up to fifth.
You know what? I'll put them in the can. I'll put them in the can. Because if they get the right matchup in round one, like a lot has to happen.
Yeah.
A lot has to happen formula, like for the Clippers, too much has to happen.
Okay.
With the Sixers, I don't think it's as much as the Clippers need. I think it's far-fetched, but in anything can happen player. They match up with the Cavs round one, and we think James Harden is going to do what he has done in the playoffs.
That's what I was going to say.
Then it go into the second round. And then, once again, if anything can happen, the Styles make fights. Let's say Embiid regenerates his knee. Let's say Paul George, the growth hormones activate, and he's good to go. Anything can happen. So I think they have a clearer path to a potential conference finals than my potential Clippers pick. So that's why I put them in.
And this is really going to prove my point. The Raptors, there's no path to the conference finals.
None.
Nah. So we can put them in the previous group. That's my point.
Yeah.
So the Sixers, you can at least kind of see it. The Raptors, you can't see it.
If they play Cleveland but it's more of an indictment on Cleveland and the investment they made than,
Real. There'll be people who will pick the Sixers against the Knicks. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people who will pick the Sixers against the Knicks.
And I'm going to say, we're doing this again. I'm going to retweet every one of them. We're doing this again.
We do it every year. We do it every year.
Because they tried this 2 years. They tried this 2 years ago. Oh, those dangerous 60, whatever. Continue.
I think there's only one other team that we need to talk about as far as do they belong in the can make the playoffs group, which they're going to make the playoffs, or do we need to bump them to the can make the conference finals group, and that's the Lakers, as of right now, are at least above a even scoring margin. They are now at least outscoring their opponents this year. So that's something.
No.
Sean says no. Jeff? I say no, so I guess it doesn't actually matter what you say.
I don't think so, man. The fact that they're with their top three, their defensive rating is as poor as it is. And I don't think they're going to be able to win shootouts through two rounds. I just don't think so. They need to stop somebody. And you telling me they get into the mix. They see OKC in that second round. Sayonara. They see the Spurs. Maybe LeBron can vet his way through a couple of games with this squad and try to like knock the young Spurs off their square. But I don't think it happens through three rounds. I don't think they make it to the conference final.
I'm just out on the Lakers this season. I'm out on the Lakers. All right. So that means we've knocked off 20 teams. Philly, we're putting in the conference finals group. That means we have 9 teams left to talk about. Did we put Portland in the you stink group, or that they can make the playoffs? Remind me.
Them in they can make the playoffs.
Okay. So that's
I think I would have them there too.
So group one, 9 teams. This group two, 11 teams. Philly and conference finals. So we have 9 teams left to talk about. And it's okay. This will be interesting. I'm going to go first with the Rockets. Can the Rockets win the title?
No.
Jeff?
I'm going to say no, because I think in the top four, they're clearly the fourth between them, the Nuggets, the Spurs, and the Thunder. I don't think that they can beat either one of those three. Unless, I don't think they can get out the conference. I'll put it to you like that.
I think if there was, if the reporting around Fred VanVleet was, similar to what the reporting is around Jason Tatum, where now it seems like Jason Tatum is going to be coming back. That might be different, but the fact is the Rockets they don't have a true lead guard. They don't have someone to direct their offense. They have a losing record in crunch time. Their crunch time offense is 110 points per 100 possessions. That's 17th in the league. They're getting outscored by 5.2 points per 100 possessions in the clutch or in crunch time scenarios. That's 21st in the league. What do you have in the playoffs? A lot of close games. So I'm with you. I say no on Houston.
And they're going to have an Amen Thompson problem when teams are just give him when he wins the Isaac Okoro, we're leaving you wide ass open award. And there's no other ball handler besides Reed Sheppard, who this will be his first playoffs, that could like pick up like no.
And how about it? The coach don't want to play Reed Sheppard.
Definitely don't want to
play. Well, that's another issue.
He's probably their best chance. If they make that adjustment, now
if
we
they
can
went
squint,
all in,
now
on
we can squint.
Yeah, if like that's the thing is like it's always interesting and especially with a coach like Ime, who is kind of in the Tibbs mold. Like, if you don't. Like, wouldn't it be better for them to accept the reality right now that unless they go all in on Sheppard, they're not, it's not happening this year. So, like, what do you have to lose? Like, give the kid, whatever, 30 minutes a night. I don't know where to go next. Who's the next? Cleveland, should we go to next?
Sure.
That's good.
Okay. Jeff, I'll go to you first on this one.
Can Cleveland win the title?
Yeah.
They can.
They've lost once since the Harden trade. It was to Oklahoma City. And granted, it was to an Oklahoma City team missing SGA, J-Dub, and a couple other guys.
Yeah. If I look at them and I say the best version of them, I think the best version of them can do it. They have a legit shot. I don't know if we see the best version of them, though. They still got to make it through the playoffs healthy. And we already starting on a bad foot because Keon Ellis has a fractured index finger. Harden has a fractured, albeit offhand, fractured right thumb, and he's planning to play through it. So it's whatever.
The Strus thing may not happen this year because
it's
March.
I forgot all about Max Strus. Like he is about to get the he's still in the league designation for me. I forgot all about Strus. I forgot all about my guy Strus.
But you say yes, despite the injuries. You say yes.
I think it's possible. I don't think it's probable.
It's just
so if that puts me in a no, then so be it.
No, this is about
possibility. I'm showing respect to Donnie. I'm showing respect to Harden because wouldn't it be funny if this is the year where Harden all of a sudden shows up consistently in the playoffs and drops the playoff Harden label? But I don't know, guys. Like. For all of the shit the Knicks took for losing to those guys, like I told Sean, both them teams stink. The Cavs just stink less.
They did,
and it bodes negatively on them, imperiously, that the two times where they didn't look all that was the two teams that were considered contenders.
Barely beat the Nets, we should say, last night.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
Sean?
No.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to make it 3-for-3. I'm going to say no also. I think the next team should be the Wolves. I'll just say it at the top. I think the Wolves could win the title.
I think so too. Ant-Man's too.
Yeah, I know how I feel about Ant-Man. He's already on my league pass.
You love Ant-Man. I didn't realize how much you loved him before.
Yeah,
doing the
man.
Show
like
with you.
He reminds me of the basketball I watched growing up. Oh. And he's one of the last of the non-plug and play personality athletes in the NBA. We don't get PR statements. We get, for better or worse, we get raw, unfiltered Anthony Edwards dialogue. And it's fun and it's colorful and it injects some type of excitement into the game. And it makes it unique. It makes it unique. It's not just like talking points. It's how he actually feels. I like that with Wemby too.
Like
Wemby tells you what's on his mind. He don't got no feel. He says whatever he wants to say. And I like that in my athletes. And Ant's game, like this is a dude who dominated in the paint and now all of a sudden he wants to shoot like Steph Curry. Like it's crazy. Also, we know all that talk about Julius Randle, this, that, in the playoffs.
It's over for that.
It's over for that balling. Like we knew, which is why you'll see a lot of Knicks fans lament the January 2024 Knicks and yet another generation of a Heat player derailing a playoff run, right? If that shoulder doesn't pop, I think the landscape of the league is completely different.
It's not
and
even,
that's all I will say.
It's not even if the shoulder doesn't pop, because if you remember the reporting around that came out, no, it wasn't at the time. It came out afterwards, I think, that there was the re-injury when he was trying to make it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I missed that.
Because Julius is insane in a good way. All the guy does is want to play basketball, and he was trying like hell to get back, and he
probably re-injured.
Well, a conversation for a different day.
And Dante shooting Rudy, like they have a team that's going to the conference finals back to back. I don't know how you can't say they can't win it all.
I think the next team that deserves to be talked about, even though they're second or third highest odds or lowest odds, whatever it is the Spurs. Can the Spurs win the title?
I'm going to say no, and for one reason, just because of youth. That's like you can't go from you can't go from 32-50 to NBA champions with like we seen these guys in the cup final also, like Castle, Harper, Vassell, whatever. Oh, by the way, shout out to Julian Champagne and his Magna Ball, leaving that in San Antonio. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
No, you New Yorkers, but thank you.
But yeah, that's like everyone is. It's just it's interesting watching people who follow the league, who understand the league, who know the league, people whose opinions you respect, just forget all the things about how this league works when it comes for certain teams. And I think San Antonio is one of them. Like, now listen, if anybody could break through this, it's him. But like, I still think there's ways that like, because basically it's a Wemby conversation. Yeah. And there's ways even now, like, listen, every time Wemby takes a three, that's a win every single time. And he likes to take a little bit of them too much. Did you listen? That dunk on OG, it was like, you got this because you're 7'5 and because you're Victor Wembanyama. Because Sean Bradley couldn't have done that. George Mirasan couldn't have done that. Manute Bol couldn't have done that. Bol Bol couldn't have done that, right? And it's just like, all right, like plays like that, you just can't account for. I even think OG was surprised, like, you shouldn't be able to dunk that from here, but all right, we move.
He started laughing. He's like, yo, bro, what am I supposed? He jumped, he caught the peak height of his vertical, and Wemby, that was the Monstar dunk.
It was
Wemby
crazy.
Was a whole foot above him. Yeah. That's little brother on the Nerf hoop.
I give OG so much credit for getting in there and actually and trying. All the credit in the world. Wasn't his moment.
If this was the pit, I would say Alien versus Man versus Alien. Alien 1.
Wemby's taking 5 threes a game and shooting 34.1% on those. I'm not going to give him shit for shooting 5 threes a game.
It's less about him shooting 5 threes a game as much as like the further he is from the basket, the easier it is for me.
True.
That's what it is.
Fair. Okay. So Jeff, I say no. Also, are you making it 3-for-3? Spurs can't win the title this year.
Yeah. And it's not hate. I just think objectively, I was watching a video from Jared Weiss, who's covering Wemby and the Spurs for The Athletic. And he was at the game last night and he was breaking down what the Knicks did to Vic and the Spurs. Mm-hmm. He made a really salient point about how if you play Wembanyama physically and they try to force the ball into Vic in the post, their players right now don't have the experience or the skill to get the ball to him in the post without telegraphing what they're going to do. Like, you know you're going to try to force it. When you meet a team that has guys like OG and Mikal, two or three of his steals were based off of just jumping those passing lanes. Like, they're trying to throw it 10 feet in the air to get it to him in the post, and you just jump with your hands up, and you can get a deflection and get a steal. So those are going to be the type of decisions that I don't know if this young team can make when the pressure is on. And when the game slows down, when they're like, yo, we got to get it to our best player. and they're just going to be telegraphing. It's almost a similar issue that Houston is dealing with not a great initiator. Like, De'Aaron Fox is going to have to hit a whole other level for them to legitimately win the title.
Or Castle or Harper. Or not this year, probably, but in one of the next few years. Look, the game is no longer designed for post players to dominate in the way they once did, unless the post player, speaking of aliens, is a guy who also happens to be the best passer in the league and is pretty good with his handle too, in Nikola Jokic.
And shout out to the Spurs and the Spurs fans, by the way. I don't know what y'all are doing in San Antonio. Send us the prayer. Because, like, if you're a Spurs fan, do you really have much to complain about over the past 20 years?
Oh, no.
Since 99.
I mean, the Kawhi thing.
Three generational. Okay. Okay, yeah. That's the most.
If you're being nitpicky, like, you could argue that they should have had a dynasty in between the dynasty they had and the dynasty they may about to have.
They lost the chip. I mean, this is champagne problems, though.
This is
champagne problems. I'm just saying, like, the fact that you got back-to-back generational athletes at number one in the draft.
Three.
Like, yo. David Robinson, too. I'll include David Robinson in there as well. But, like, three generational athletes in the draft. Like, yo. And y'all got a good team. And y'all got a likable team. Until they start winning. And then, you know, the tide will turn. But for now, like, y'all have a likable team. Y'all have the athlete who is going to usher in the next generation of competition in this league. So I appreciate that. Like, y'all are going to be good for a minute. And the next transactions that they make to improve that roster are going to be vital for what their ceiling is going to be.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating summer on a lot of fronts. But the Spurs have a chance to dictate the terms of engagement this summer if they choose to. We'll see what happens there. Okay. The only teams we have left, Denver, in no particular order, Denver, OKC, Detroit, Boston, New York. I think all of those teams should pretty clearly be in the top tier, but I will hear arguments otherwise.
There's one team I want to take out, and I'm thinking about a second.
I think you want to take out the Pistons.
I'm going to take out the Pistons. So they can. I'm going to take them out.
Okay.
And if someone watches this and tell me, yes, I know we lost to them by 34 points, I don't give a shit.
That's why I love you, Sean.
I don't care. I watch basketball. They have one guy to do everything, and he's 24 years old.
For what it's worth, I don't think the Pistons could win the title.
They can't win.
I just don't think they're good enough. I don't think they're that level of team. I don't think they have that ceiling.
Here's my thing about the Pistons. And this is what the Western Conference propagandists are going to say about the East. But I think more than any team, it applies to those guys. If they make it out the East, I don't see them beating OKC. And low-key, I don't see them beating San Antonio. I don't see them beating Denver.
I don't see them beating any top.
Right? Now, they might be able to get the Spurs if the OKC rules apply to them in the finals and physicality is just a construct and it's not actually something that we call fouls
on in the league. If we get a fucking Piston-Spurs finals and a throwback to 2004, that would be 2003 and 2004
and 2005. No.
04 was 05, Lakers.
05. Yeah.
05, oh, that's right. 04, 05. Yes. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I could say. And once again, it's, yo, y'all, you have the respect to say that y'all are a title contenders. I will not take that away from the Pistons or the fans. Like, they are title contenders. But if you tell me, do they actually have to make the, like, win the title?
There's a
difference between contending and winning. I got to see it in the playoffs. I got to see it.
Stop being nice.
I'm being objective.
Contender means you can win the championship, not play for the championship. Contender means you can contend for the title. I do not see a world. I think you
can contend and lose.
I do not see a world.
Semantics.
Yes. I do not see a world where the Detroit Pistons are holding up the Larry O'Brien trophy in any way, shape, or form.
I don't either.
So
who is the team you were thinking about taking out of this group? Boston, I'm assuming.
Boston.
Okay. I think Boston, but because we'd have no idea what Tatum's going to look like, and he's probably going to come back this weekend, I don't think we could take them out of this group. I'll just say that.
His return is imminent.
Like, I mean, take it with a grain of salt.
I saw the mini doc on NBC. I saw the mini doc on NBC, which was well done, by the way. Yeah, it sounds like this is a rollout. Like he's about to drop it.
Yes. Yes.
This is a rollout right now. So they wouldn't have dropped that, I don't think, if he wasn't on time to
come. He's coming back.
I hope this is the right decision, bro.
Well, that's a...
I really hope this is the... Like, we cannot lose our young stars to, like, nagging injuries and stuff like that. And yeah, I know Jason Tatum probably almost 30. He's still a young star to me.
I respect the decision. I respect Tatum, completely for trying.
You know? He's a competitor. I get him. Sean and I were having this conversation on after school, on KFS after school, about whether or not he should come back. Like, my rationale was he really doesn't have anything to prove. But I also understand the lore of it all. I understand being a competitor and having this story about how you battle back. You wanted the first people to pop your Achilles and come back the following season. I don't know if Dominique did that from season. I forgot when he popped his and when he returned, like whether it was whatever. So, you know, somebody checked me on that. But yeah, it would be a remarkable story. And especially for the opportunity to have this resume builder on your legacy where you came back after people ruled your team out as having a gap year, ruled you out as coming back. When your contemporary Halliburton popped his and was automatically ruled out for the year, you come back and you help lead your team to a title. That's immortality. That's a pantheon of immortality that to him as a competitor is probably worth making that move or worth taking that chance to come back. I just don't know. Just prudent wise, I don't know, man. I don't know.
You said it at the end there. To me, the decision is very simple. If internally between Tatum's camp and the Celtics, they think that they have a chance to win a championship this year, you come back. If you don't think you have a chance to win a championship this year, you don't come back. I think they believe they have a chance to win a championship. I think they have a chance to win a championship, which is why I think they should be in this top group. It sounds like you do too, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I do. Because, listen, they don't go away. Joe Mazzulla is too much of a psycho for them to drop anywhere but this title contender. If Jason Tatum comes back and he's like 50% of himself, that's still 50% better than a lot of players that are going to be in this playoff. And they're just dangerous. And to your point, John, if I was Boston, I'd be like, fuck the rest of these teams in the division, in the conference, and in the division. I don't care about them. We got the pedigree. We've had our secondary and tertiary players step up, and they've got months of experience under their belt. JB has taken over the reins, and he's kept this afloat. And Derek White, I know he's like, yeah, please come back because then he could be full Derek White again. So, yeah, if I was a Celtic, if I was in that org, and if I was their fans, I'd be like, yeah, come on, let's take the shot.
We gotta get going. Me and Sean have our meeting at 1:30. So, Sean, I'm just gonna end it by asking you your response to people who say we are collectively homers for including the Knicks in this group.
Go fuck yourself.
Or even Simple. Better yet, even better yet, I'll be yin, right? I saw somebody on social media say that the Knicks have not won a statement game yet this year.
Oh my goodness.
And they said yesterday was not a statement game. And I asked, can you please define it? Of course, the person didn't respond because they're probably illiterate and they don't know what a statement game is. God. I don't know what y'all think statements are. I think the fact that they smoked a team on an 11-game winning streak who did not lose in the month of February. I think the first team ever to go undefeated in the month of February with the numbers that they had. Looking for 12th in the Garden and smoke their boots. A brunch time beatdown. A brunch time beatdown. And this is the second time, for those of you who want to erase history, this is the second time that they've beat them in competition this year. And if you, and I think, Sean, not Sean, John, I think you made the point on the post game. If you take out the fourth quarter of New Year's Eve.
The last 8 minutes.
It's looking, I think even if you include it, it's looking like this whole differential between the Knicks and the Pistons right now.
I tweeted it. Where did I tweet this shit?
No, so, it was, Sean, you were all over the, you quote tweeted the gentleman or gentlewoman who Jeff is referring to as well about the statement thing. Here's the other thing I said on the post game last night, and I believed it. And this is going to sound crazy in light of some of the other things I've said recently. I don't think this was a statement win because I don't think the Knicks needed to make a statement. I think the Knicks have already shown you that they have the capability to beat any team, anywhere, anytime, just period. It's about, it's what we've been saying for a year and a half. The Knicks' biggest rival isn't the Pistons or the Cavs or the Celtics or the Thunder. It's the Knicks. If they could just get past that rival, and that's why, that's to me why they belong in this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll even go a step further, John. The best version of the Knicks is the best team in the league. Like, I haven't...
There's an argument.
Other than OKC, other than OKC, where when they're running on all cylinders, it's just like waves. They're like hordes of wings and guards that come at you. But when I've seen the Knicks hit all cylinders, there's not a team on the planet that's better than them. And I don't think you can say that about any other team other than OKC. Because I think the Knicks have seen the Spurs best, and they've weathered it.
Twice.
When OKC is hitting, like, I don't know what the number is, 38% or higher from three, they are as unbeatable as any team that we have seen in our lifetimes other than the KD Steph Warriors, the Jordan Bulls. Maybe there's one other or two other teams I'm forgetting. But they're in that category. But here's the thing. Right. There's a lot of nights they don't shoot 38% from three or 35% from three or, you know, anywhere close to that because they have a team of inconsistent shooters. The Knicks. So our final top tier, these are the five teams we think can win the title this year. Oklahoma, in no particular order, Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, New York, Boston. I like that group. And then last but not least, before we get out of here, just hot off the presses from
John,
Sean
this
Sharania.
Is what I tried to tell you. You put me in one category, I categorize myself.
There is a person that works for Knicks Film School who believes that Milwaukee will be the eighth seed and take out the Pistons. And let me tell you something right now.
It's not
me. It's nobody on this podcast right now. But let me tell you something right now. God forbid that happened. There's some instigating and block spinning. That's gonna have to get done.
I might record a whole episode of After School as Giannis Antetokounmpo if that happens. Dead ass, I might do the whole. I will study that man like I'm an improv artist. Impersonation improv artist. I might do a whole episode as Giannis.
For anyone listening on the pod, we should note Giannis is coming back tonight against the Celtics. So that's the news from Shams. Something worth turning on the old TV on for tonight. This was a lot of fun. We're done. Jeff, final word.
We have a lot of words. Yeah, have a great week. Giannis is back. We are in the final push to the end of the season. And yeah, I'm ready for the playoffs. I ain't going to hold you. I want to see a few more matchups and then let's go.
Sean, final word?
Final word is that it is going to be 70 degrees on Sunday and 66 degrees on Monday in the New York metropolitan area. Summer is coming and we are going to outside like we have never outsided this summer after dealing with 12 straight days of like 9 degrees in the morning. So
pray for New York because we're not going to have any sense. Sunday and Monday, nope. Pray for New York.
Nope.
Shout out to Profound Dream, Ben Kim Gervey, Who else we got in the chat today?
Dirty Dancer.
Dirty Dancer and my guy Riyadh. A lot of KFS faithful here. And thanks for everybody checking this episode out, whether you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching on Twitter, go over and subscribe to the NBA Takedown YouTube page. Hit the like button for your boys. We will be back, of course, with more fun and games before you know it. In the meantime, everybody have a great week. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Sean. I am Jonathan Macri. For the Takedown crew, we are out. Take care.